I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. Now Hear This was a Navy show that aired in the summer of 1951 on Sunday evenings on NBC. The show was narrated by Boats, who was first played by Arnold Robertson and later by Larry Haynes. The series told the dramatic stories of both men and women who had served in the United States Navy. The theme song was, what else, Anchors Away. Most of the episodes were set in World War II, and the show boasted quite a large crew of New York City actors. The first episode, Fire at Sea, was broadcast on June 24, 1951.
Now hear this.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, presents Now Hear This. Dramatic stories based on the personal experiences of those gallant men and women who embody the great traditions of a great service, the United States Navy.
The first thing you learn in the Navy is this. If it's loose, pick it up. If it's bolted down, paint it. If it moves, salute it. Try to remember that, and you've got a chance to become a sailor. Now, in the Navy, you like to know a little something about the guy you're shipped in with, so I'll give you a few facts about myself. About 30-odd years ago, I left my old man's farm in New Mexico because it didn't rock, it didn't roll, and there wasn't any salt in the water. I hitchhiked my way to the coast, raised my right hand, and before I knew it, I was wearing a black neckerchief, a white hat, and a pair of bell-bottom trousers that fit me closer than the day I was born. Well, during that time, I've sailed in everything that floats and had more than my share shot out from under me. I managed to collect enough hash marks and enough stripes to make me a chief bosun's mate. My name? Well, according to my ID card, I'm Scott Peter D., BMC. Like I said, I've shipped in everything. A couple of years ago, I think it was May of 48, I was on a recommissioned tin can, a 1,650-ton destroyer on a shakedown cruise. We were plowing through a heavy sea, and the captain was doing his best to take the ship apart, piece by piece.
You know something? I bet the old man sits on his ditty box just waiting till I get a chance to hit my bunk, and then he calls all the braid together and he says, Men, it has just come to my attention that Steele is trying to get some sleep. Let's have gunnery practice.
And the whole Navy's against you, ain't it, Steele?
I ask you for a comment, Malone.
If you ever open your yap without complaining, I'm going to be so surprised I'll probably join the Marines.
Well, if you need a character reference, just ask me.
Hey, how long are they going to keep it up, Malone?
Now, what's wrong, kid? The boom-boom make you nervous?
No, of course not.
What you peacetime sailors need, the little of the stuff we got in the Coral City.
Oh, no, I was just asking how you're going to learn if you don't ask.
Yeah, the air was so full of shells, you can walk on them. And those Jap torpedo bombers were trying to use our bridge for a landing field.
I thought you wanted to sleep, Steele.
You think this ship is bouncing now? Malone, kid's getting seasick. Jamie.
Oh, what a name for a sailor.
All right, get off his back. Yeah, we were rocking and rolling. Rocking and rolling. Pitching and tossing and tossing and pitching. Ooh, what a sailor. He's getting green already.
Oh, I'm not complaining. Hey, Malone.
Hmm?
Were you a striker during the war?
Yeah. Only, we just didn't strike for a rating. We were striking the sea tomorrow.
Now, if that don't sound like the hero of the Coral Sea. Go on, get him to tell you about the Lex kid. The Navy gave him a medal.
Oh, were you really there, Malone?
Hey, they must have knocked down a couple of seagulls. They stopped the gun.
Now maybe I can get some sleep.
You know, I was only about 11 years old. I remember reading in all the papers about the battle. It must have really been something.
It's part of a war, kid. War ain't something. It's a great big nothing.
Hey, can't you see? Just dying to hear about your medal, Malone. Me too. I just love to hear how you guys won the war for
now, me. Seaman Forrest Apprentice, report to the bosun's mate of the watch.
Oh. Well, that's you, Striker. If you want to be an admiral, you better get hopping.
Well, I'm going.
Look, what have you got against the kid, Steele? He doing something to you?
Just having some laughs. Besides, how can you tell if these peacetime punks can take it? I'd like to know the guy next to me isn't going to fold up if it gets hot. Gives me confidence.
Look, you got something against peacetime? Because if you have, we can start our own little war.
The Atlantic was cutting up, and sailors get jumpy when the Atlantic cuts up. If you're riding a destroyer at the time, it's something like sitting a barn door in the middle of a tornado. She goes down, forward, up, aft, and tries to break her own back. With luck, she'll keep out most of the wind and some of the water. It's tough enough when you're on a ship that's been tested three ways to the middle. But when you're on a shakedown cruise aboard a lady that the captain is trying to prove is seaworthy, everything takes a beating, including the men. So the scuttlebutt starts rolling.
It's the truth, Malone. I got it straight from a guy in the engine room.
What do those guys know?
We get 10 days' leave when we get in. 10 whole days. I could cover half the East Coast in 10 days.
Smitty, you've been in the Navy long enough not to go for that scuttlebutt. 10 days. What do you think you're in, the Army?
Okay, wise guy. So you know everything. Only I'm telling you we get 10 days.
Where's that striker I sent for that gasket rubber?
Ask Malone, Boats. He's the kid's nursemaid.
In 10 minutes and the exec is blowing his top. What kind of guys are they letting in the Navy these days?
Whoa, Chief. They told me you were down here.
Well, Forrest, it was nice of you to inquire. Well,
I couldn't find that gasket rubber. I looked, but there wasn't any.
And just where did you look? In the captain's quarters?
No, in the engineer's storeroom. The guy on watch at the ice machine, he couldn't find any either.
I saw it loaded myself, so it's there. Malone.
Huh?
Take this genius by the hand and show him where it is.
Yeah, come on, kid. If Boat says it's there, it's there.
Well, yeah,
you'll
but
get
I look,
used to it. So the rest of us don't get bored. The black gang plays hide-and-seek with the equipment.
I tell you, Malone, it ain't there.
Whose sack is this?
Yeah? Kowalski's.
Kowalski. 6 years in the Navy, and he still doesn't know how to make up a bunk. He can take a diesel apart in 40 seconds, and he can't make a bunk. I'm going to tell him once more. Just once more.
Hey, what was that?
When General Quarters sounds, well, it's sort of life dropping a handful of marbles in a mixmaster. It's a mad scramble that straightens itself out in about 18 seconds. An explosion on a fighting ship can mean a lot of things, and every one of them means trouble. If you've been through a shooting war, every scare you remember comes back and kicks you right in the middle of the stomach. And if you haven't been through the real thing, you get twice as scared. Everybody gets eaten up a little, except maybe the guy who gets paid not to, the captain.
All right, mister, let's have it. You've given me the general situation, now I want details.
There's a fire in the forward handling room. I think a shell was left in the ammunition.
Never mind what you think, Lieutenant. I want to know how bad off we are.
Well, the fire is sealed off in the handling room. It's burning hotter than the inside of hell. Right over the magazine. The sprinkling system is ruptured.
How long will it take to burn through the metal?
We're safe for a few hours, maybe four.
Can your crew put it out, Chief?
Yeah, we can get to it. You see, the explosion sprung the hatch. The hatchway is solid flame. We'll try.
Chief, I'm 6 hours from port. You've got to do better than try.
If the fire breaks through the hatch and gets at that ammo...
We'll go up like a Roman candle. What about the 3 men in the storeroom?
We can't get at them. There's only one way out, and it's on the other side of the fire. Besides, the explosion was right against their hatch. It must be sprung.
Now, your crew keep working on that fire, but don't let it spread.
Aye, aye, sir.
Lieutenant, you stand by while I contact base. Daniel Salt, this is Bulldog. Message for you. Over.
Bulldog, this is Daniel Salt. Send your message. Over.
This is the captain. We've got a fire in the forward handling room. I repeat, forward handling room.
Is it under control? Do you need help?
The fire is sitting right atop the magazine, and there's enough powder there to spread us clear across the Atlantic. We're 6 hours from the beach. Best estimate of control is 4 hours.
What is your position, course, and speed?
4005, 72.44 west, course 335, speed 10.
We'll dispatch fire tugs to intercept you.
Seas are too heavy to get close aboard. I'm going to have to run toward port for calmer water.
We'll alert firefighting gear afloat and ashore.
If I have to abandon, I'll drop the hook outside the shipping lane. Stand by.
Are there any casualties, sir?
I don't know. We can't get close enough to tell.
Are we wish we could keep the smoke out.
We're lucky to be able to keep the fire on. How you doing, Danny?
Okay, I guess. How's it look?
I wouldn't take the odds. We're locked in tight. It's getting hotter every minute.
I'm thirsty.
Yeah, me too. Only if I had any water, I'd save it to fight the fire. Just try and take it easy, huh?
You know something? Can't see anything alone. Honestly, I can't see anything.
All right, take it easy, sailor.
But I can't see. Why don't they do something? Why don't they...
He's out again.
I think I got two flashlights going. You think maybe he's blind?
How would I know? I'm no doctor.
Well, I was only asking, Malone.
All right. I'm sorry, kid. Now, you'll be all right. He's got a hole in his head where he hit the bulkhead, but at least we stopped the bleeding. How's your arm?
I don't know. I can't feel anything.
Never thought it could get so hot. I bet it's 120.
The fire's right over the magazine, isn't it, Malone?
Yeah.
If it gets close, they'll abandon ship, won't they?
No, of course not. Whatever gave you that idea? Now, if we had cards, we could play some blackjack.
If they abandon ship, they'll...
Hey,
just...
Danny, the kid thinks they're going to abandon ship and leave us fry. Imagine that.
No. He's still out.
Well, if he wasn't... How old are you, kid?
18. At least I will be in 2 months.
Well, don't cash in your chips. Because we're going to get out of this yet.
You know, we've been here 2 hours. And it don't even sound like they're trying to put it out. I can't hear anything. They might have jumped over already. Malone, supposing they've already abandoned. What if they left us already? I want out.
Take it easy, kid. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Any emergency can be properly met if the people who must meet it are properly trained. You know, that's where the training that our Navy gives to each and every Blue Jacket comes in handy. Navy training prepares for just about every situation that can be foreseen, whether it happens to a Blue Jacket, a ship, or a fleet. And then preparations are made and the proper instructions given, so that when the event does occur, all hands are ready and know exactly what to do. But that's just one of the reasons why our Navy men take such great pride in their service. There are several others, such as travel, adventure, trade training, and the greatest of them all, service to our country. So if you're between the ages of 17 and 31, and the type of young man who won't settle for less than the best, why not visit your local Navy recruiting station and find out if you can meet the requirements for membership in the greatest Navy in the world.
Everything went against us. The sea was slapping us around, and for every foot we went forward, we seemed to slip back, too. The fire was eating our hearts out. For every inch we gained, the flames ate two more. We played every inch of hose we had, and the fire asked for more. The captain cussed, the men cussed, and the hot box that was sitting atop 100 tons of powder was beginning to melt the bulkhead.
Tell you, boats, I can't get any closer. I'm cooked on both sides already.
Keep that hose working. We either drown that fire, or there won't be enough left of us to serve.
Hey, Chief, if I get any closer, this hose is going to melt in my hands.
How much longer, boats? I can hear that ammunition starting to crackle. Come on, how much longer?
How should I know?
We're not going to make it, are we, boats? We're going to blow straight up while the captain plays alongside.
What makes you so sure the odds are against us? You bucking your 3 white stripes against his 3 gold ones? You think maybe he's been landlocked the past 14 years?
Yeah, I was on a ship that went up. 300 guys and only 4 of us made it.
Maybe you want to abandon and leave them guys burn, huh? Is that what you want, you yellow guy?
No, I don't want them to burn. There's over 300 guys on this frying pan. We don't even know if those 3 down there are alive.
Keep playing that war.
I'm doing it.
Scott, change balls and make report to bridge.
Let us know, will you, folks? Come back and let us know.
If you was caught, you wouldn't be so quick to abandon.
I didn't say that.
Where's that relief? In the smoke, Steele. I can't see anymore. I can't keep my eyes open.
All right. Slide back, will you? I'll work both hoses. Send someone up there, will you?
I might get lonesome.
You're making any headway, boats?
Not much, Captain.
We've kept it from spreading, Captain, but the bulkhead's beginning to swell. We still can't get close enough to open the hatch for the handling room.
How do you expect to put the fire out if you can't get to the guts of it?
The hatchway is full of smoke. The hatch itself is white hot.
Then it's worse over the magazine. I'm still 4 hours out of port. Miller, I want to volunteer to blow that hatch off with a TNT demolition block. If we can spring it wide open, we can get to the fire.
Too heavy a charge will spring both hatches. If that happens, we're opening up for the fire to reach the ammo.
And even if we only open one, we might not be able to control the fire. The draft will make it spread.
I know it's a gamble, but we've got to take it. I've got a time limit of 1 hour. It'll take you at least 30 minutes to get close enough to set the charge. Now, if, and it's a big if the outer hatch is blown open, how long before you can put out the fire?
1 hour.
30 minutes is all you'll have.
Chief?
Yes, sir. 30 minutes.
The men in the storeroom, can you contact them, Captain?
No. They might all be dead, but they might not be. And unless I have to abandon, nobody packs.
That's a decision I never want to make. 3 men who might be corpses against 300 who are sure to be if you make one wrong guess. The captain was running the show and he knew what he was doing, only quite a few men aboard had their doubts. Tossing a stick of dynamite against a hatch that was only 40 feet from a magazine was a long shot. Only, he was the captain and it wasn't my job to figure the odds. All I had to do was ask for a volunteer.
You're nuts, Boats. I don't care what anybody says. You're nuts.
Just so all you men will know what you're volunteering for, I'll outline the plan. The volunteer walks down the hatchway, gets to the hatch which leads to the loading room, puts a demolition block against the hatch, then returns to his post. Any questions?
Yeah. What gives you the idea it can be done?
In case the volunteer is overcome by smoke, he is to drop to the deck, grab the dynamite to his middle, and pray. Does that answer your question?
Boats, I just spent 12 minutes down there. You can't get within 10 feet of that hatch.
Well, someone's going to try.
The captain tell you what's going to happen if his little plan doesn't work? No? All right, I'll tell you. First of all, the fire spreads throughout the ship. But before that can happen, the TNT not only blows open your precious hatch, it also blows open the magazine.
He's right, Chief. Even if the stuff gets planted, we lose.
Boats, I got a pal locked in that storeroom. If he's still alive... Danny's a sailor. We shipped together during the war. I don't think he'd want us to take the chance.
I'm not asking for an opinion. I'm asking for a volunteer. I want to make one thing plain before I ask. There will be no disgrace to those who refuse because, frankly, you've got only 1 chance in 10.
1 chance. I make it 1 in 1,000.
Okay, Steele, so it's 1 in 1,000. I want a volunteer. You guys tongue-tied, I said I wanted a volunteer.
I remember once I was at a race track.
I told the captain I get plenty of volunteers out of my deck apes.
Now, this was the first time I ever was at a racetrack. And would you believe it, Boats? In the first race, I picked 1,000 to 1 shot.
How long have we been here, Malone?
Too long.
Long?
Yeah.
Got a cigarette. Dying for a cigarette.
No, no, we're all out. Besides, they're liable to make your throat dry.
You kidding? So dry now I can hardly breathe. Look, I got blisters all over me. Big blisters.
Yeah.
So hard to breathe, Malone. You can only get some air. Why don't you turn the light on? I can't see with the light out. Please, Malone, please turn the light on. My... Mother always let me sleep with a light on. Always.
Sure. There. How's that better?
Thanks, Malone. Now I can sleep. Is he out again?
Yeah.
If he only wouldn't keep asking to turn the lights on. Why don't you tell him there aren't any lights? Why don't you tell him both flashlights are gone dead?
Because he wants to believe they're on. Because he's in so much pain, he wants to believe it's happening to someone else. Because they got to get us out of here sooner, or we'll never feel anything ever again.
You know, I used to live on a farm, and we had a creek running right through it. And you could drink from it and swim in it.
How big a farm?
Huh?
I said, how big a farm?
Oh, 200 acres. Why?
Oh, I just wondered. You know something? I've never been on a farm. Would you believe that?
So hot and smoky. My eyes burn like hot coals, and the blisters hurt.
Mom, it's still night time.
Go to sleep, Danny.
I never can remember such a long night. My head hurts. Hurts so much.
Now go to sleep, Danny.
You will wake me up when it's morning. Promise.
Oh. Yeah, I promise. At least when he's out, he doesn't feel anything.
You got a girl, Malone.
Sure, everybody in the Navy has a girl. Some guys even got two.
They gotta get us out, Malone. They got to.
They will, they will. I promise you, kid, they'll get us out.
They got to. I'm not even 18.
Oh, you'll hit 80.
I ain't even kissed a girl.
We fought that fire like our lives depended on it. And they did. The hatchway leading to the handling room was hotter than the inside of a boiler, but we battled it. Well, finally we got our foothold and figured we could hold that long enough to give Steele a chance to make the few feet to the hatch and plant his dynamite.
Ah, you could be cooked alive in one of these asbestos suits. Boats, I'd rather...
You'll wear it. Remember, Steele, you've got 8 seconds to make your way through, shove this against the hatch, and get clear.
8 seconds.
We'll play the hoses all around you until you turn for home.
Yeah.
Smitty and I'll be the only ones on the hoses after 4 seconds. We'll make for the fire hatch and slam it behind you.
So don't stop for tea.
Let's go.
You all set, Steele?
Yes, sir.
Good luck.
Thanks, Captain.
I'll take over, Paul.
My pleasure.
Clear out. We need plenty of room.
Good luck, Steele.
You got water going, folks.
Sure.
Go on. Don't forget the right.
You did it, Buster. You did it.
Well, folks, how long did it take me?
7 seconds.
Well, what do you know? A new world's record.
The magazine, Malone, it's starting to go.
Magazine all goes at once, kid. You'll never hear it.
But I heard something. I know I did.
Go ahead and guess. We haven't anything else to do.
Then if it isn't the magazine, they haven't abandoned ship. That means they're still trying.
Still hear the engines, can't you? If they go, it's time to pray.
Then we still got a chance.
We've got a chance.
Malone, you still here?
I didn't know you were awake, Danny.
I wasn't sleeping, honest. I wasn't. How much longer do you think the air will hold up?
Oh, years.
The truth, Malone. I want the truth.
Well, if we don't talk 20 minutes. You can tell from the way the smoke's sitting. Heat must have sealed off the hole in the top hatch. The air we've got is all we're going to get.
Well, supposing we talk. I'd rather talk, Malone.
Okay. Won't make much more difference. Go ahead, talk.
Well, I haven't got anything to say.
Strike a match, will you, Malone?
Haven't got one.
I have.
Here. Where's your hand?
Right on your shoulder. Take it.
If only the flashlight hadn't gone out. It was better with a flashlight.
Well?
You can put it out. I can see it.
You aren't kidding.
That ain't my idea of how to make jokes, Mac.
Hey, you hear that, kid? He can see. Now, do you believe me that everything will be all right?
I'm cold.
Must be 150 in here.
20 minutes isn't long enough.
You scared, kid?
No. No, of course I'm not scared. Who said I was scared?
I'm scared. I've been scared since we got locked in here.
Honest?
Any guy says he ain't scared's lying. Right, Malone?
Right.
Oh, you're just trying to keep me from cracking up. Well, I ain't gonna crack. I ain't.
Nobody cracks, kid. When you go, you smash. Right, Malone?
I wouldn't know.
Don't believe him, kid. He knows.
Well, I ain't gonna smash either. Am I, Malone?
No.
Malone says we get out. We get out. Because if anybody knows, he does.
Look, you're wasting the oxygen, Danny.
Ever read about the Lexington kid?
Oh, sure. We lost her during the last war.
That's right. One of the bombs blew Malone and another guy right into the water. The other guy was hurt bad. Malone held his head above water for almost 18 hours.
So, listen.
Malone, it's water. It's water pouring against the bulkhead. We're going to get out. You said we'd get out and we're going to.
Ah, you talk too much. You know, even for a kid, you talk too much.
We loaded the handling room with water, cut a hole through the deck and poured a few thousand gallons into the magazine just to make sure she wouldn't kick up at the last minute. A couple of acetylene torches went to work again, and in a matter of minutes we cut into the storeroom and picked up three well-done sailors. In about 3 hours and 20 minutes, we transferred them into an ambulance and sent them to the base hospital.
Well, if ever three guys had it easy, you sure take the cake. I think you're goofing off. How long you figure to spend in this hospital?
As long as the nurses hold out.
Hey, Steele, is what Chief tells us the truth? Did you really fix it so they could get to us?
Yeah. Hey, I saw the food they give you. I told them to put you back on beans before you get soft.
I hear the Navy gave you a medal, Steele.
And so what?
Nothing. I just hear they give you a medal.
I told you anybody could get them. Well, I got to shove off. See you around.
I just don't figure him, Malone. He didn't even know Danny. He didn't like me. He always fought with you. I just don't get it. Why him?
Oh, it's a long story.
Boy, I never figured that sailor to help anybody. Especially you.
Well, we've been shipmates a long time. We were both on the Lexington.
Oh.
Maybe he figured he owed me a favor.
A favor?
Yeah. I taught him how to swim. Took me almost 18 hours.
Funny how an incident like a shipboard fire will stay with you. Maybe because it only happens once in a million years. Or maybe because you saw the look on the face of the sailor who forgot to put that last shell back in the magazine. It taught a lot of sailors not to break rules and not to forget anything. And it taught a lot of them to be shipmates. In the Navy, that means something, even though you don't talk about it. Even if you ride the shirt off each other. You even feel that way about a boot because you know he's wearing the uniform that stands for the same thing you stand for. You know, the way you feel about a shipmate is a little like the way most folks feel about each other at Christmas time.
All hands secure until 17:30 next Sunday.
National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, has brought you the first in a series of dramatic incidents based on the personal experiences of the men and women of the United States Navy. In today's story, Boats was Arnold Robertson, and the cast included Jay Meredith, Larry Haynes, Chuck Webster, Billy Redfield, Bill Quinn, Jackson Beck, and Gilbert Mack. The program was written and directed by David Harmon and produced by Chick Vincent and Cy Levine. Tune in again next week at this same time when the National Broadcasting Company will once again present...
Now hear this.
Stay tuned for You Can't Take It With You next on NBC.
From June 24, 1951, Now Hear This and Fire at Sea. Thanks for listening. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.